call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants.
On now. Okay, good. Hey, I wonder if you need more debt in your life. You feel like you're got too much surplus and you want to be in debt. When I say that sentence, I think most of us would respond as in quite negatively to the idea of debt. And there's lots of good reasons for it. Because obviously when you're in debt, you owe someone something, and that puts you in a position maybe of vulnerability. And none of us like to feel weak, which is what, in a sense, debt does to us. But being in debt does create a strong bond between people. You certainly feel like that as long as you're in debt to somebody, then you're going to have to be in relationship with them. I have a bank. I owe money to that bank. I feel like I have to do the right thing by that bank until that debt is done. And then maybe because all my super and money is tied up in my debt, maybe then I could move away. But at the moment, it feels like the debt ties me strongly. So for all of us, being in debt feels quite negative. Increasing debt seems silly. But there is another way of thinking about debt. And it's a positive way. Realizing that being in debt can strengthen relationships because it means we need someone else. We need and even depend on people. I don't like feeling in debt, especially maybe in relationships, because I'd like to think that I'm a independent person who is in control. Some years ago, I did a wedding in Wellington, and because I was a person with no means of transport and no means of accommodation, I found myself constantly depending on people. I went to a youth hostel, and I can't even remember where, but I had no idea how to get there, so I had to ask strangers how the New Zealand transport system worked. When I got there, I had to depend on the people to find. I had to ask people how to actually walk to the place. A person gave me a lift, which is fantastic. While I was there, one of the youth hostel people said to me, "Oh, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Wellington." And they said, "I'll give you a lift down." And I was like, no, I'll be right. And they insisted. So they gave me a lift for a two-hour drive down to Wellington. Then I was in Wellington and I needed to depend on the people who were organising the wedding to get me to this really remote location. I hated every moment of depending on strangers and depending on friends. Do you understand that? You might say, "Well, Jason, you sound quite disorganised." And I might have been. But I just hated that feeling of depending on other people. But I've had to learn over the years that that's the way it is. Depending on others is really crucial. I've had moments in my life, mostly moments of real suffering, where, frankly, I haven't had the resources. My family hasn't had the resources to endure to meet the challenge, and we have really needed people to help, and I am in debt to them. We're in debt to God. That is an obvious statement. I mean, our very lives, from its inception, the scriptures tell us, were because of God's hand. He gave us life. Everything he does in our lives, every act of kindness, every blessing, the people who love you, even the discipline, adds to this debt that we owe God. If you took just 1 minute, as we did today, if you just took 1 minute of our lives and you started to account for every sustaining action that God does in your life, from the beating of your heart, your genetic code that means you're as healthy as you are, the families that you're part of, the country that you're born in, the fact that even scientifically we have this thing called gravity, which means that we're not spinning out into the universe. In fact, we have a universe. If you started to account for just 1 minute of your life and be thankful for what God has done for us, it would be without measure. There is so much activity around our life for which we owe God, and we probably pay little attention to. And I haven't even yet come to the most significant place of our debt, which is the giving of his own son, the person Jesus, as a sacrifice for our world's sin and shame, and more specifically for mine. I mean, our world is full of tragedy, and God meets that tragedy by offering his own son. That itself is a gift to us. It's unimaginably great, and you can scarcely account for that. We owe a debt to God, and so we should give thanks, shouldn't we? We should give thanks. But it's easy to say thank you. Have you ever thought that the thanks that you might offer God is incredibly in disproportion to the debt we owe him? This is something like the two moments we've observed sandwiched side by side today. So the first one is a child dedication. And I'm not specifically speaking to Scarlett about the debt she will owe her parents. I'm speaking to the debt we all owe our parents. That they gave us life. They housed us, fed us, raised us, put up with our tantrums, cultivated our character so that you are the person you are today. We owe them a debt, do we not? And to say thank you to our parents seems quite trivial. The thanks is far smaller than what they've given us. And it's more, by the way, than what the newspapers say, which is on average it will take $400,000 to raise one child in your house. It's far greater than that. And the second moment is the moment of Remembrance Day. What do you give back to people who offered their lives, who died? What kind of response can you make to that? There is no response that is enough. And these are just glimpses at the kind of debt we owe God. It's far greater than even these things. And so that acknowledgement of debt humbles us, does it not? When you think about quite carefully, even what my parents did. By the way, I know I've got four children and only a few of them are in the room today. In fact, no, none of them are in the room today. So this is kind of a wasted message. But I often think about parents and children, and I include myself in this, how quick we are as children to name all of our parents' faults. Very quick. And to tell them where they went wrong in raising us. Now, granted, some parents deserve every statement just like that. But on average, when you consider what they've done for us, their mistakes and errors and flaws are far smaller than their contribution and sacrifice for us. Very much similar to the way we approach God, is we don't acknowledge the incredible debt that has been given us. And maybe it's because we don't like feeling small, don't like feeling like we are dependent, don't like feeling that we cannot pay. Maybe that's why we're so ungracious to parents. And maybe that's why we're so ungracious to God. But if we are to be truly grateful and truly alive, we need to embrace the fact that we owe people a great debt. That's the better way of living, is to fully acknowledge that people have given to us freely and generously, and there's no amount of effort that we can give back to repay them in kind. And in fact, in a world that says it is better for you to be independent, the reality is we're all dependent. It's much more honest to recognize how much I depend on you and you on me than for me to pretend that I don't need you. I'm far more honest to acknowledge that I'm in your debt. I'm in your debt. Than for me to pretend that I am not. Far more honest. But funny enough, we don't want to be that honest. I mean, you look at the way, say, a boss is with their staff. And what you might notice is in your workplace, other people take credit for your contribution. Why would they do that? Maybe you take credit for your team's contribution. Why would you do that? Maybe we don't like being in debt. But when we acknowledge what we owe others, and we recognize it in fact strengthens our relationship with people, it makes us better people. Scarlett owes her parents a great debt already. She'll be a better person when she is thankful for that. You, I, owe our parents, owe those we love, owe our friends a great debt already. We will be better people and have better relationships when we acknowledge that. And this kind of debt, the debt of love is what it is. It compounds quickly. Because what happens is we receive more. And the more we receive, the more in debt we become. And the more in debt we become, the more dependent we are. And the more dependent we are, the more we receive. That's kind of the economy of it all. This psalm shows us a man who is in desperate trouble. Did you hear that in verse 3? The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave come over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Verse 8. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. He is in desperate trouble. The kind of trouble where he feels like he is going to die. So he calls upon God in verse 1 for rescue, and he says in verse 5 and 6 this: the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. He calls upon God to rescue him, and he says, God save me. So then down in verse 12, he asks the question, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? How can I respond to this great debt that I have towards God, that I was in serious trouble and God delivered me? How can I respond? And he gives a couple of ways. He says that in verse 2, he's going to give God his life. I will call on him as long as I live. Verse 12, he says that, verse 14, he says that he will fulfill his vows in the presence of all his people. In verse 17, he says that he will offer up a sacrifice, a thank offering. He says he's going to give things back to God. And that's what happens when you know what you owe. Is what happens in you is you go, I will find every opportunity I can to give back what I can. Have you ever noticed that when people are quite generous to you, and their generosity is the one which is, it's given in a way which expects nothing in return? Have you noticed what happens in your own heart to people like that? That you find every sneaky opportunity you can to be generous in return. And it's not because you feel like you owe them, though you probably do feel that, but that's not why you're generous. You're generous because that's what a heart does to free giving, generosity. Is a heart says, I want to give in return. I want to bless you. And these blessings are small in the comparison of what God has given this person. He's rescued them from death, and this person says, well, I want to give something. I'll give you a sacrifice. And there were sacrifices of thanksgiving you could give. And he says, I want to fulfill my vow in front of all these people. I want to boast of how good God has been. And he writes a song. That's what he does. He writes a song and he says, I want to sing this song in front of everybody and teach them to sing this song with me of the generosity and the goodness of God. That's what people do when they know they're in debt, the debt of love, is they're thankful and they praise and they do it in front of anybody. Which makes me wonder why we are not so extravagant with our thanks towards God. Does it not test your heart? You have a great debt. You owe so much. And God is not stopping with this generosity. And yet we have such restraint in our thankfulness. Does that not test your heart? Why do you hold back? Why do you hold back? It would seem to me that if somebody gave their own life for you, that you would tell anybody that. That would seem fairly obvious. Today we took a minute to remember people in wars. That's so small in comparison to what was given. But it's something. It's public. Why would we not take opportunity where we could to say something of the goodness and greatness of God? Why do we hold back? Now, giving thanks to God is more important than we might think. Because it's a sign that we value what we owe God. I often think about worship. This public worship space. And often people will say things like, oh, I don't clap because I'm not a very good clapper. There's a few of you that have said that. I don't lift my hands because, you know, I'm a reserved person, Jason, and I just, that's very demonstrative, and I'm not that kind of person. Boggle me. Why would you restrain yourself in the thankfulness of God? Here's a little hint in just life in general. But when you restrain yourself from thanking other people, you actually diminish the relationship. That restraint takes something away from all that that relationship could be. So when a parent fails to be fully generous to a child's left guessing about how thankful they are. Your restraint isn't just about you, it's about what's going on here. And when you are fully given, fully joyful, have you got people like that in your life who are just ridiculous in their response to you? Like they'll hug you to death, they'll kiss you, they'll tell everybody about you. You're not left guessing at what is in their heart for you. Don't you love those kind of people? They're probably Italian. But that fullness of heart, that fullness of expression, means that you're fully embraced and you really know what they're feeling. You know, one of the sadnesses for me is and I'd say it's because of culture. My grandmother was very restrained in her affection towards her children and even her grandchildren. And we all understood that. Anglo-Saxon Aussies are not the most expressive people. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Because the little people go, did she really love us this much? I just want to say to us, when it comes to God, why do we restrain ourselves? And is it a good enough reason? Is it more about you and your tastes and your personality than what your response could be towards God? Here's the thing. If you could learn to be more generous in your outward expression to God, you just may be more generous in your outward expression to people. And the people around you need that. They really need to see how much you love being in debt to them. How grateful you are that they have been so generous and kind and giving to you. They really, really need to see that. It's good for you. Matt Jacoby, he said this, debt binds us to the one in whose debt we remain. Whether this is good or bad depends on who we are bound to. If you're bound to God, it's very good. Being in debt to God is a very good thing. It binds you more and more to Him. It stirs in you gratefulness and increasing thankfulness. You are better because of all that you owe God. And I think we could all grow in responding to Him. Let me pray. Thank you, our God, for your incredible kindness to us. And thank you for the many ways that we see that kindness expressed in our world. Today, we want to acknowledge the kindness of parents towards children and the debt that children owe. And also, God, we want to thank you for the kindness and sacrifice of people, not just in the armed forces, but people who are across our world giving up their lives for the good of others. God, we thank you that it's not just seen at the cost of life, but it's also seen in the acts of service in our world. That even this week, as we remember what happened in Melbourne, again, normal people putting themselves in harm's way so that other people might be rescued. That's unbelievable. And we'd pray, our God, for more stirring of that kind of service. That if we have debt in our lives and in our world, it'd be that kind of debt that we might owe each other. The debt of love, the debt of generosity. God, open our hearts. If we are a manager or a boss, open our hearts so that the people that we work with might never be left guessing at how important they are to us and what kind of debt we owe them. If we are children, may we be grateful and thankful to our parents. If we are leaders, may we acknowledge not that this is our accomplishment, my accomplishment, but may we acknowledge that this is our accomplishment together. And God, we pray finally that you might stir in us greater gratitude just this minute, just this moment of prayer, you've already been good and kind. But we thank you mostly for Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, it stirs in us a response that says we want to live from gratefulness and gratitude. Help us do that this week, we ask, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Joseph.